Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dalla. What a great day for the Hometown Nine yesterday. Beating up on their former colleague, Garrett Cole. Is Alvarez a beast?
Oh, my gosh. Great Holy. Day for Yordan.
Great day for Yordan. Great day for Tuve. His birthday, hits the three-run homer in the eighth. Just to give it back to those Yankees fans. There's a video from third base side.
You mean from yesterday?
From yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Astros fans were videoing from the third. There was about, I don't know, it looked like about a dozen or so Astros fans scattered on the third base side, and one of them was taking a video, and we can't play it because that's epic.
Yes.
No.
Every video when you he saw hit that from ball, Yankee Stadium.
And then everybody was jumping around, and the Yankees fans just went silent, and then they were boo. Oh, poor Yankee fan. Three-run homer, Tuve. How'd that taste?
It's a late inning win. A win in the back third of the game. They're down early, 3-2, and then the Astros, as John mentioned, you have Yordan with big hits, home run, Tuve with home run, and you had, Garrett Cole did not look unstoppable. That's for sure.
No.
He didn't look like an unstoppable force. He really hasn't since he's been over there, honestly.
He's been pretty good.
I mean, he's been good, an unstoppable force.
No,
he has not been the player that he was with the Astros at any point.
No. He definitely peaked here. He had Pastrami here. He doesn't have him anymore. I don't know that their concoction is as good now. The Stickum concoction.
Well, he uses plenty of it.
He does. But it might not be as good. He lost his Angels clubhouse guy, and he lost all of his rights here in the city of Houston. So, sorry. Beat it. And that was just fun. That was good. That's when you lose the first two and you're facing Cole in game three, to come away with a win, that's a nice win for the ball club. Really nice win for the ball club.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's the best win of the season.
You wanted to. It is. Well, it's one of the most satisfying wins.
Well, it's the best win of the season. You were in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
In the eighth inning, you're down. You come back and beat them in a game that Cole started. I don't think there's any question. That was the best win all year.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Yankees, it's not like they're playing the best baseball. They played better.
No, they're playing
They played better
good.
Over the last five or six games, yeah.
No, they've been playing better for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They're playing really well.
I'm just saying, they weren't much more.
And the way Stanton's hitting, holy crap. My goodness. But then there's Judge. There's Stanton the way he's hitting, and then there's Judge.
The way he's hitting.
And LeMahieu looked like crap yesterday, too. So
it's strange. I don't remember great baseball players having these kind of prolonged runs over the last 20 years. It just seems like the good players, I mean, the really good players, the elite players, just typically might be in something a little less less erratic. But right now, we see much more erratic strings. We saw that with Aaron Judge. Was it last year, year before, where Aaron Judge is like, wow, Aaron Judge is Giancarlo Stanton. Wow, Giancarlo Stanton was terrible in 19.
Right. Now, yeah. whatever the case may be, good for them.
But good for the Astros for picking up another win in the last three innings. That's the second time they've done that, and from coming from behind, something they don't do a lot. And it's something they did again yesterday. You'd like to have more, taking two out of three, but it is what it is. You pull the last one out of there, and it's nice to see Altuve have hits in the last couple games, including the big one yesterday. And then now you got Toronto rolling into town, and no George Springer. He's not going to play. My brother's coming into town. He's in, he coaches in outside the Dallas area now, and he and his wife Lisa are coming in, and they wanted to go see the Astros. He said, my brother doesn't love living in the Dallas area, and the number one reason is because he didn't get to watch Astros.
Yeah.
He can't get the Astros. He's super bummed out about living there
specifically
because of the Astros. I would think he'd be able to watch it through watching the baseball package. You should be able to get it. It's outside of your market, so it shouldn't be a problem. But he said they were looking into tickets for this weekend. They're triple digits in nosebleeds.
Really?
Does that make sense to you? I know there's limited seating.
Yeah.
But Do you think that was because the rush for George Springer?
Maybe to see George.
I was at Riel last night, and Peter, who is like the sous chef there, who's from Boston, he was talking about when we were in Boston going to, you should go to Fenway, because right now, he said in Boston, restaurants are 25% open, and it's easy to get in. Nobody goes out. He said his buddies went to Fenway. They paid $25 a ticket, lower level. And I'm like, wow, 25 a ticket. My brother said it was triple digits here for nosebleeds.
Well,
yeah, so right now, he said that it's not easy to get into it. There was maybe for this particular series or game. You got weekend. It's a weekend series for one. Number two, people may have bought it when they thought George was in town.
Well, George is here. George is still going to come, I believe, and he's going to hang out.
He should.
Yeah, he's going to come and say hello.
He'll see your buddy.
Say hello to everybody. See your boy. See Uncle Mike. Their boys. And the rest of the Astros. They'll get a nice, warm reception here, as opposed to other a-hole fans that are stupid about the way that they look at baseball. But you know what? I don't care. What a happy, happy day it was yesterday. What a happy – Lance McCullers out-dueling Garrett Cole. Well, I don't know about out-dueling. I'm not going to go that
probably
far.
Not the-
but the Astros won a game that Garrett Cole started. Alvarez – but Tuve coming out of it is spectacular. Altuve coming out on his birthday. Couldn't be better.
What is my brother talking about? Here's a $38 ticket right here.
You know, I mean,
what is he talking about?
What the hell? Why is he going to Gucci?
Robbie's
Gucci.com to get his tickets.
Why are you getting your tickets from Chanel. Prada Astro tickets?
Yeah. 30.
Ford's Astros tickets. I'm looking right here. I mean, look. Here's some nosebleeds for $1,180.
$1,180?
Yeah, per ticket.
Is it
$11? I'm sorry. It's $118,000 per ticket. It's clearly somebody's just like, let's just make it for $118,000.
$118,000. I can see
this. Is literally going you see it? It's $118,000.
Well, if someone will sell it for $118,000, if someone would buy it for $118,000, you sell it for it.
Yeah, you're done.
What if they offer $117,000? $117,000. Do you buy it? Do you sell it? I mean, in the seventh row, up seventh tier, up way up there.
Yeah,
in the nosebleeds. First base side,
upper deck outfield is 62. That's not super inexpensive.
That's a long way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Upper deck.
So, I mean, it's not like they're cheap. You don't really have. It's 148. I mean, it's not cheap now. Mm-hmm. I found 138, but I guess that's way. There's 41 upper. These are upper deck, pretty far out there. All the way down, you can get $87 all the way down left field line.
That's good. Those are good seats right there, though.
They are good seats.
Yeah.
But I guess to his point, yeah, it's
next to the Crawford
people
boxes.
People are still paying, $96 over there in the same one. It's not cheap.
No,
it's not cheap.
No,
that's not.
Well, there's
a cheap
only 21,000 allowed. So
yeah, that's not a cheap ticket.
No.
So I guess there was two tickets.
The Washington football team says that they're going to be full stadiums. We're selling all our tickets.
It's weird. We're at a point where, and we're not at full capacity. Nobody that I know. I mean, what are the, even though you have 100% capacity supposedly in the state, no one's doing that. But what did the Rangers go back to? They started at that, and then what are they right now? What are the Rangers?
Well, they just went the first game. And then
what are they at now?
I don't know. They might be. I have no idea.
What are the Astros technically at?
50.
But that's not 50 there.
Yeah, 21,000. No, those are just for sale. Those aren't all the seats.
No, but it never looks like there's 50.
Well, there
has
been 21,000.
Have there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does it look like it to you?
Yeah. Well, but they put them all in behind the Diamond Club with the most expensive seats.
I have noticed that things are typically grouped together.
Yeah.
Like you have chunks where.
Well, yeah.
Should just be first come, first. Yeah, here's your ticket. Get in.
Go ahead. Go where you sit.
Well,
you want.
Not to the Diamond Club.
Sit where you want. Go. Let me see. Did you get vaccinated? Go sit where you want. Who cares?
You can't go to the Diamond Club. They've got armed guards there.
No, yeah.
Keep
you're
you
not
going
to the Diamond Club, but those are all sold. You know those are all sold.
I bet.
Because that's expensive now.
No, we should all be at 100%, I would think.
Yeah.
Right? NFL teams. Maybe the Seahawks are at 10% back then.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Seattle's still... super careful. Oh, these variants, we better only go to 10%. Like you do you, 12th fan.
The Yankees were 20%. It looked sparse, didn't it?
Yeah, it looks very sparse.
Yeah, so...
I like movie theaters.
We're better. We're just better. It's all we do. That's what we do. We're just better. We're 50%. And we got no George coming in this weekend with the Blue Jays coming in. But here we go. Great day yesterday for your Houston Astros. That was fun. Beating the Yankees is always fun. And getting out of there with taking one game after losing the first two and with Garrett Cole on the mound, that's just good fun. That's just good, clean fun. Is Angel Hernandez not the worst?
Well, he's always been the worst.
He is so bad. He missed so many calls. And he threw out the Royals manager, their pitching coach, and their pitcher all in one inning.
So it's got to be because he has rabbit ears, and he clearly knows how many people hate him and how many people, more importantly, think he's incompetent.
Yeah.
And he's got to be sensitive to that. He's a major league umpire for years and years. He knows people think he's incompetent. I'm thinking that when they go after him...
He sued the league.
I know. He sued
the
league.
He lost on it, though.
Yeah, he lost because there's no basis. He sued the league because he wasn't given a playoff game.
Yeah.
And he's incompetent. People know he is. They tell him he is. He's very sensitive about it. So now he's got such rabbit ears that you can get... Your whole team can get thrown out in a game if need be. He'll throw you all out if you need to be. Yeah. If you need to be thrown out, Angel will throw you out because he's that sensitive.
So the problem with him is that, I mean, he's very Bill O'Brien-like. He's not good at his job, and yet he's as arrogant as he could possibly be. And this is a lot like, hey, did you see the Rangers got fined $250,000 for their comments about the guy who disciplines, who deals out the discipline? Mm-hmm. They didn't suspend Tom Wilson.
Quarter million for basically saying... That guy needs to have his job taken.
Right, that guy is bad.
And they're like, excuse me? You just said that as an organization? Oh, You should have got...
200. So not only were they right, but they got to pay $250,000.
Yeah, but you can't, like, that's something you say behind the scenes.
Well, right.
You don't want to subvert the power.
Well, you don't want to tweet it.
Yeah. They ran with their Twitter fingers just like an athlete would and said something stupid. All they should have said was, look, our account got hacked. Somebody put out a fake press release from us saying that this guy sucked and he shouldn't have a job anymore. It wasn't us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the people who run our account. That's our social media manager. We've disciplined them. That's not us. We shouldn't get. Actually, we were hacked by another. We were hacked by the Canucks. The Canucks put that out.
The Canucks.
Yeah, Canucks put that out there on our account.
Don't you think it would have been Washington, who was the team?
Just randomly, who would ever expect, who would suspect the Canucks?
Yeah.
Well, that's the genius of it.
Yeah, that is genius. I don't think there's any question. I don't think it's, yeah.
As revenge for the 94 Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
Mark, well, you're going that far back.
That's the last time the Rangers won.
And last time the Canucks had any dealings with the Rangers.
Yeah.
Damn you, Mark Richter and Messier.
No.
Pavel Bure will see
Rangers
you.
Rangers haven't won since then, have they?
No, they haven't. Pavel Bure will see you.
I was there in New York when they won at the parade.
It was the same time as the Rockets and Knicks, right?
Yeah, I was
same
there.
Same time we were ruining their lives.
It was crazy. It was a lot of fun. It was crazy. It was a crazy time with the Knicks.
Messier.
And the Rangers.
Has anyone looked more like a hockey player or UFC or like maybe a Russian UFC fighter than Mark Messier?
No.
Nobody. And then Randy Couture, nobody's ever looked like more of a wrestling / UFC grappler or hockey player than Randy Couture. Randy Couture could have been a hockey player, but he's a UFC fighter. Mark Messier could have been a Russian, UFC fighter, but he's a hockey player. They kind of look the same.
They do.
They look the same.
No question. 713 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Time to talk a little bit about my peeps over at GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. I don't know how many times I've told you, but if you have to get out of this car, if I don't know where you are with the COVID and how much money you lost and everything else, but maybe your car payments are too high. And if your car payments are too high, there's a great way to get out of that car. Great way to not only get out of the car, but get the most you can possibly get for it. And it's a guarantee. Because if you go to CarMax, if you sell your car to CarMax, you're just throwing money away. Because why would you sell it to CarMax and not sell it to GimmeTheVIN.com when you're going to get more? Because GimmeTheVIN.com says they will pay you more than CarMax or they will send you $100. It just doesn't make any sense for you to sell it to CarMax or even your dealer. Because GimmeTheVIN.com is going to give you more than your dealer as well. And if they can't beat the dealer's offer, listen, it's pretty easy to beat the dealer's offer. The dealer usually is going to lowball you. So make sure that you go in armed knowing how much your car is worth at GimmeTheVIN.com. That's GimmeTheVIN.com.
You're going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Altuve drives one deep to left field, all the way back, gone! Jose Altuve on his 31st birthday hits a home run that probably feels as good as any in his career. A three-run shot and gives the Astros a 5-3 lead.
Hear those Yankees fans? Tuve! Tuve! Yeah. They love him now. They love Tuve now.
Tuve!
Tuve! I love that.
Yeah, it's good to see. I hope they... God, it's going to, you know... You think it's going to be worse? I don't think it's... You think it's going to be worse with the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Yankees fans came out and they made a little noise, which you expected. Yeah. It's a year removed, but the next time they go with a fuller stadium, it's going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
Like the Astros, there's plenty of people going, I didn't get my shot yet.
Yeah.
So they're going to do that. I think it's going to be maybe worse with the Dodgers.
Yes, I think so too.
Because some of those people are Raiders and or, you know... Possibly Raiders fans, and they could storm the field.
And Chargers fans. You know, they're brutal.
Yeah, not Chargers. What Chargers? You mean Eagles fans who get to go to the games?
Right.
So I was talking to Matt Money Smith about this, and I said, we were talking about the worst fans, the most dangerous fans. I said that I had at one point pissed off the triumvirate, the all-time three, and he goes, yeah, that's pretty much the worst you can do. I had a mock draft with Kyler Murray going to the Raiders. It was my very first mock draft 2 years ago. Kyler Murray going to the Raiders. Ooh. And at that point, Kyler was not being mentioned in the top, like, 10. Kyler Murray to the Raiders at 4, which they were furious about because he's not as good as Derek Carr, they told me. So Kyler Murray. And then I had Rashawn Gary going ahead of Nick Bosa. So I pissed off 49ers fans and Ohio State fans simultaneously in one mock. So in one mock draft, I had 49ers fans, Raiders fans, and Ohio State fans mad at me, which is the scariest day of my life. It was the scariest. There were so many.
Well, you could have thrown in the Eagles somewhere.
So many death threats. Yeah, I should have done something.
The scariest stadium I was ever in was Philadelphia.
I didn't like that dirty ass trash ass city.
No,
I bet.
It was.
But Money and I were talking about that. He said, honestly, everyone talks about the Raiders, and the Raiders fans in L.A. are, he said, they're a little dangerous. He goes, but people in the know, I said, Niners. He goes, it's them. He goes, the 49ers fans, he said, are extraordinarily dangerous.
Daryl Hamilton used to tell us about the bad, I mean, literally, battery chuckers out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, and Money's like, they will just be, like, if you're an opposing, he calls games for the Chargers. Right, he does play-by-play for the Chargers. He's been out on the West Coast forever, has Petros and Money. I mean, he's been doing radio for over two decades out there with Petros Papadakis. And he just said, I'm telling you, we hear so many stories for all the time that I've done. We've seen so many videos that have never been posted about. If you're an opposing fan and you go into the bathroom, you just don't go to the bathroom because that's where they're waiting to jump you. If you go to the bathroom, you're going to get beat down at a 49er game. They thought it was going to be different at the new stadium, but it's no different.
Wow, that's ugly. That is. No, but the scariest, though, was I got a beer thrown on me in Philadelphia.
Did you really?
On the field, yeah.
How did you respond?
I just stood there. I didn't even turn around. Didn't want to. I didn't care.
Because you knew they
were. I was not. And I told him, Mark, on the broadcast, I said, I'm going to come back smelling like beer, but it ain't because I've been drinking. It's because they just threw one on me out down here. And they were close. That new stadium and the same at the Raiders at the old stadium in Oakland, they were close. You were close to the sideline. You just hoped that you just didn't get in their way. You just didn't get that they just didn't even notice you while you're on the field. So here's something interesting. Sarah Barshop wrote about our Houston Texans about the picking Davis Mills number one. Well, with their third round pick. In the past five drafts, 40 quarterbacks have been selected in the third round or later, according to ESPN stats and info. Of those 40 quarterbacks, only the Cowboys' Dak Prescott has made the Pro Bowl, and no such quarterback has been named All-Pro. The only quarterbacks among those 40 to start a playoff game since 2016 are Prescott and Connor Cook, who had to start because a broken leg by Derek Carr. So what that says is the odds are against
everyone's Davis favorite Mills. Thing is to say, well, what about Tom Brady? You mean the one outlier of all outliers for the last 60 years?
Russell Wilson's an outlier.
Russell Wilson's an outlier also, yeah, but he wasn't drafted. He was, I mean, no, they did draft
him. Third round.
It was Matt Flynn coming in. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Two, and that's it. Everything comes from the first two rounds.
Yeah.
It's just the truth, and mostly from the first round. If you look at the top quarterbacks, just Mahomes, Rodgers, Watson, look at whoever the top quarterbacks are, almost always come from the first round. Yeah. Drew Brees was the first pick of the second round. So he was the 33rd, 32nd pick because there was no Texans in. So Drew Brees was the 32nd pick of the draft. Technically, it's one of the top 32. Who else? Name all these great third round. It doesn't exist because if you're good, they find you for the most part. And the Brady thing from you're going all the way back to 99. If you have to do that, come on.
If Davis Mills is Kirk Cousins, is that a good pick?
Yes, it's a great pick.
Well, that's why I think of Kirk Cousins, fourth rounder. That's what you hope for, right?
What you hope for. Now, it also, if he's really good, you get stuck with him. If it's like Kirk Cousins is one of those guys that he becomes a devil you know versus devil you don't, where he's just too productive to just get away from him easily. But at the same time, you end up paying him way more than you should be paying him, and you've got a cap on. Now, right now, I would take that just because it's better than where you are. Like complaining about, man, I would take a Kirk Cousins right now. That sounds kind of tells you where you are, but I would take a Kirk Cousins. Davis Mills is Kirk Cousins is a win. That's a guy who got paid franchise money. That's a decent starting NFL quarterback. I don't think I can say more than decent. That's about all I can say.
Yeah,
that's a middling NFL quarterback. Probably he's paid like an elite quarterback.
Yeah,
but that's not how he plays. I don't care what he's paid.
Davis Mills is like, okay, I'll take that yeah. career. Yeah. I'll take that career right now.
But no one's gamed the system harder than Kirk Cousins. But I would take a Kirk Cousins out of Davis Mills. That's a winning
heck yeah.
That's a winning trade. The Texans could trade a guy like that could flip him for two firsts easily. And then draft a better quarterback.
What? Why yeah?
Because if Davis Mills becomes, you can't get away from that. Once a guy becomes Kirk Cousins, you can't get away from Kirk Cousins.
No, God forbid Davis Mills does play well second half of this season. And I mean, you're still going to lose.
You're stuck. You can't do anything.
Speaking of...
The allure is too great to get somebody for that inexpensive.
Speaking of which, I got odds on every team making the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't think every team's going to make it this year.
Well, no.
Each individual.
What are the odds of each team?
Yeah, I was going to say, the odds are stacked against every team making it.
No. The odds are... No, listen, I'm betting against that. I'm pretty sure.
Me too, yeah.
NFL playoff chances for every team. Where do you think our team lands as far as making the playoffs?
Where do I think our team lands?
Our hometown,
well,
22.
I think they're the... I don't know. I know what it should be, but it's not going to be that high. You have to be.
What do you think?
All right, let's just say 1,200. I mean, plus 1,200, maybe.
No. It's plus 650, but minus 1,200. You were right about the 1,200.
Yeah. Okay.
It's minus 1,200
to not make it.
So you got to bet $12 to win one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was right. It is 12.
It's 1,200.
Yeah, it sounds about right. I mean, realistically, it should be. You can't make a 10,000 because anything could happen. But
and just to juxtapose it, the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you think they are
to make the playoffs?
Make the playoffs.
Ooh, I would say they are. Yes is minus 500.
No, it's the exact opposite of the Texans. Minus 1,200, and plus 650 not
minus to. Minus 1,200.
Minus 1,200.
One quarterback goes out and you're stuck.
If he, right. That might,
it doesn't take much.
No, plus
like losing a quarterback can screw you. Losing a quarterback and Tyreek Hill.
What about if
Davis
Mills plays great? You could get plus 650 on the Texans, too.
All right, here's the question. Will Davis Mills, all right, will he start a game this year?
Yes, he'll have to.
Why?
Because you don't draft a guy in the third round without seeing if he can play.
What if he's not? What if his shoulder stuff, were the medicals on him? More than one team told me there are medicals on his shoulder. I don't know what that means exactly, but there were medical concerns on his shoulder.
He looked like he was flinging it around to me, Lance,
when?
All over
when
the
was
stadium.
That? When he had 11 touchdown passes this year, 7 touchdown passes?
Well, he cool. had 18 and 11 starts, so let's put some respect on
him. Did he look like he was flinging around this year?
Put some respect on him, okay?
You want me to pull up
on
his stats, his numbers from this
look
year
look at all
again?
The great Davises that are quarterbacks in the league.
When he had his 7 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, which game did you think was a big flinging game?
Well,
out of those,
I saw him flinging it around against UCLA, I want to say.
Okay.
Or what? Yeah. What was that?
Cool.
So
you think he will start? I think he probably.
No, I think he has to start.
Why?
Because you don't draft a guy. You have to find out because you're going to get a high draft pick this year. You have to find out whether or not this guy can play so you can either move down with that pick or you draft a quarterback with that pick.
Okay.
You have to find out.
Over
if
under
you're
on
not,
games.
You're the biggest, dumbest organization.
Over
ever.
Under.
Well, have you been paying attention?
Yeah, they're the biggest, dumbest organization right now, but let's say three and a half games. You think he
over,
plays more than that?
Over, under 3.5?
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good number.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I think he probably will because you do want to see, it, provided he's healthy. I mean, if Davis Mills can't beat out Ryan Finley as the number two, then that's a big problem to me. Not necessarily this year. It's not really a big problem. But in terms of trying to get some looks on the field, yeah, that would be a big problem if you say we can't put Davis Mills out there. We can't have him on the field. Well, then what are you doing about your draft pick this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, you and I have him already losing a ton of games, so I'm assuming a 4-win season or less.
It's,
you think the Astros and the Texans and Rockets will both? So the Rockets are pretty much locked into the worst. They're going to be last place in the NBA.
Yes.
All the concerns and worries. Every team has 20 wins or more except the Rockets, who are at 16 right now. I mean, the Rockets are unbelievably bad. But with that said, so the Rockets are going to have the number one pick in theory. They'll just be in the top three when it comes to the ping pong balls. So they've got to finish in the bottom four, which should happen, and the Rockets should get a draft pick. I think there's a very real chance that the Rockets and Texans will both finish with the worst records in their respective sports. That's where we are right now as a team. That's why it's important that Jose Altuve hit late game home runs. We got to have Yordan hit home runs too.
We got to have
because sandwiching. This is going to be a turd sandwich, and I'm just hoping the Astros can be some type of delicious, gabagool.
You want the turd
in
bread?
The middle.
Yeah, the turd.
No. These are the turd with the bread turds. Are bread turds. The Rockets are a bread. They're a turd bread. The Texans are going to be turd breads. In between,
a slice of turd bread on either side.
Is it delicious?
And he's looking for.
You know how sometimes
KFC. I'm gonna tell you,
has a sandwich with, and you just have pieces of fried chicken or the bread.
On the
outside. This is weird.
Yeah,
I'm eating a fried. I've never had that, but I've seen it.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
And here's something even crazier: the Rockets, they're not even the worst team in terms of point differential. The Rockets, the worst team in terms of point differential is Oklahoma City Thunder.
Well, they'll lose by 55 or whatever it was.
The Rockets have got, I'm sorry, the Rockets have had a 40-point loss this year, if I remember correctly.
But 57
is a lot.
The Rockets aren't even next to last.
ESPN 97.5. Speaking of basketball, how about that goal outside your house? Do you want to be a winner instead of a loser? Like losing by 57? Yeah, you want to be a winner. You know how you become a winner? You become a winner by getting a hoops goal, which is the greatest goal in the history of goals. And this is not even arguable. And when you're talking about, curb appeal, first of all, when you're talking about viability, when you're talking about playability, when you're talking about your kids able to lower the goal and enjoy dunking on the goal. I mean, it's so much fun. When you go to the website, you see all the pictures. It's just kids dunking. Now, all of it. And they just want to dunk, Dad. They want to have fun while they're playing. They want to be able to reach the goal. They're too small. Basketball at 10 feet is not fun. We want you, you want your kids to actually enjoy it. And actually, you want them to go outside and actually play as opposed to just looking at it because it's too hard to play. So if you want to have fun, if you want your kids to have fun, if you want them outside exercising, ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:30 PM 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. There's a lot of stuff to get to this morning, but we got a couple callers. Andy wants to talk about the Patriots and their fans. They're awesome people. What do you say, Andy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I love y'all's show. Listen to y'all every morning.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, my wife and I used to be a part of the traveling Texans fans whenever they were good. And when the Texans went up to play the Patriots one year, we went to Foxborough, stayed in Rhode Island, rented a car, drove to the stadium, and it's pretty cool. They got a nice, cool little mall around there and drive around. But of course, you get to the game, and we're in our Texans gear, and, you know, people in Massachusetts, that was our first time there. Man, I'm 6'3", 220. I'm getting shoulder checked, walking to the bathroom. I'm getting we're getting names called at us. You know, this is Tommy's house. They're sitting behind us, yelling at me and my wife. And she had a jacket on because it was cold. It's playoff season, you know, Patriots fans are a little different. And, man, guys are been like talking to her, saying, I don't know why you're with this guy. And they didn't see that she had a Texans jersey on, too. So she turns around. She's like, I'm wearing a J.J. Watt jersey. And they're like, oh, well, you're still with this loser. And so, of course, the Texans lose, right? And we walk out of the stadium. People are yelling at us as we're walking through the mall to go back to the parking lot. And we rented a car. So it's like this little car from it had a Rhode Island plate. And we parked in the parking lot, and our whole car is covered in tailgate trash. Covered. And
oh my
I remember
gosh.
When we parked the car, there was a bunch of guys out there tailgating that were Patriots fans, and they were like, oh, no, you ain't parking here. And we didn't think anything of it. We're like, oh, whatever. So we walked to the game. Well, we came back. Those same guys had covered our car with tailgate trash, and we had to unbury the rental car so that we can get in and drive away in shame. It was a crazy experience going up to Foxborough as a Texans
fan.
That's
the worst.
You hear that?
I love it.
In shame?
That's pretty good, though, covering your car in
That's not in, good
in
covering
trash.
Someone's car in trash.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. I got to give it up for that. Now, the shoulder hitting, their, you know, as you're going by and calling.
What about saying, why are you with that loser? Well, at that point, why are you with that loser?
That's not
Was
bad.
Was that good? Did
that's
you like
not
that
bad.
Part?
That's not bad. I mean, I just think that's good, clean fun for the whole family. That's all. I don't know. I got no problem with any. Except the you know, the physicality of it. Don't be. But the trash on the car is kind of fun. That's kind of fun.
Dell, did that surprise you? John goes, I don't know. I've got no problem with any of that.
Yeah, John is a. You don't want to hang out with John because either you're going to be in a situation where he goes, "Hey, let's trash this guy's car."
No, no,
or
no,
or he's going
to got back to your car and it had trash all. You'd be
or
like,
"Or
he's
going to be
funny.
So abrasive that you're going to have to be around him while other people are giving you the business." You don't want any part of hanging out with
no,
John.
No, you don't understand.
You don't understand.
You get back
yeah.
and there's trash all over your car. You just kind of laugh.
You
no,
don't
no.
understand, Dell.
You go. You just go.
It's a rental car, so it's better for him. But
yeah,
if it was my car, no, I wouldn't be happy about them
no,
crashing my car.
No, you don't want
car.
The trash on your car, but it wasn't your car. It
yeah,
was
but
a,
they
it was
don't
a rental
know that.
Car.
They don't know that.
Well,
just
what Rhode
the car.
Island people would be wearing Texans gear?
Maybe they moved.
There's
I don't
no
know.
One in Rhode. There's only three people in
you
Rhode
think,
Island.
You think they were discerning enough? All they saw was Texans gear. And like, okay, let's trash a car. They weren't that discerning. Oh,
no, they said, oh, look, it's not his.
No,
it's a Rhode Island
no
place. This
way.
Is a rental.
Whose car is this?
It's whose car is
this? Oh, it's Hertz's.
No, we're from Rhode Island. Yeah. Why are you wearing Texan stuff? You know how I know you are a Texan fan? Because you've got your Letterman jacket on. That's how I knew. Like, oh, that stings. Look at you with your Merciless jersey. Look how cute he is with his Merciless. That's back when Merciless was good when they were in the playoffs. where Romeo had him standing up and blitzing
Stop.
From the. No,
I don't remember
real.
That time. I don't
yeah,
remember.
Yeah, there was
any
a time.
Romeo.
Oh, there was a time.
Oh, was it?
I don't remember.
There was a time.
Yeah.
Google it.
It's so
Google Whitney Merciless good football.
Wait a minute.
Google
who was the quarterback?
Football.
Brock Osweiler? Is that what
yeah,
we're talking about?
Actually, I think
oh,
it was.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What a time. What a great time for
it
Texans.
What a time to be
it's
alive.
Better than what
time,
it is, yeah. It's better than what it is now.
Well, oh, it's 10, 20 times better than it is
so
now.
So you should remember those moments fondly.
Brock
that's
got
the
you
best.
To the promised land. To the promised land to go
two,
see Tommy in the postseason.
2 good years where I felt like our team could beat up other teams. 2 good years. It really was a year and a half because by the second half of it, when Matt was Schaub was screaming and running for his life, just with any amount of pressure, when teams started biting down on that boot action, that play action roll where they were beelining straight in for the play action and they took that away, that was, I was like, oh, this isn't as good. Remember when Jacoby Jones fumbled the punt? That was
cool. Yeah. You just all this stuff.
The, when TJ Yates threw 3 interceptions in a game where, in a season, frankly, where they could have been a Super Bowl
Stop.
Participant.
I'm talking.
They were good enough. They,
remember when TJ Yates threw 3 interceptions?
You don't remember?
This Jacoby fumbled the punt.
You don't remember that? That
yes.
was the same game.
Why do you bring this up?
Here's
now.
Why I bring it up. Here's why I bring it up. That team could have won a Super Bowl, legitimately. They had an offensive line
well,
that was outstanding.
Well, if Matt Schaub didn't get hurt.
That's something you've never said out loud with your human mouth before in a million years, and you never will again, but it's true.
No, it
if
true.
Matt Schaub hadn't gotten hurt, you might have won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Said no one ever until just now.
Hmm. No, remember, I mean, that was a good football team.
It was
they were
really
12-1.
The running game? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Arian Foster was annihilated. Remember when he threw almost 200 yards on the Colts the very first? No. That was the year before where it looked like they were going to blow out everybody.
Well, don't forget, though, they started the year 12-1, and then they just fell. And Matt
no,
Schaub
that's
fell
12.
Apart.
That's 12.
Yeah.
Matt in 11 is when JJ was a rookie and he got hurt.
Yeah.
And Arian Foster was killing
TJ
teams.
Yates got you into the playoffs, don't forget, though.
He didn't really get
in
you
Cincinnati.
In. He didn't really get you
hit
in.
Kevin
did he?
Walter in the end zone, touchdown.
Wait, did they
Texans go to the playoffs
hold on,
for the first time?
They needed
time.
To win that, didn't they?
They
did
to
they
win
need
that game.
To win that
yeah.
game?
That
right?
game. Well, the next year they were 12-1, and Schaub just fell apart.
They didn't need. It wasn't the last game of the year. It did clinch their playoff.
They clinched their playoff,
but
spot,
it
yeah.
wasn't like
it was.
Win or go home or anything.
Because
yeah,
they won. I think they won 11 games.
Yeah, year. They did.
Yeah,
but that was when JJ was a rookie. In the second half of the season, you realize, man, this rookie's really starting to play good. Remember when he got 2 15-yard penalties against the Colts? But it was the most, and they lost to a Colts team that had like. That was their only win of the year before they got Andrew Luck.
Oh, yeah.
But J.J. was so dominant, he just happened to get there a little bit low. He was annihilating the Colts. And I remember thinking, this 99's pretty good. Wow.
Well, yeah, look at you. Look at you. That first rounder right. and future Hall of Famer is pretty good. Look at your assessment.
That's right.
You should be an NFL
You're welcome.
Draft guy.
I am.
Let's get man. Eric in here. What up, Eric?
Hey, good morning, guys. Couple of questions. First of all, I think Denver fans are probably the worst. I went to a Raiders-Broncos football game, and I was like 14, and I got spit on in the face, and I'm sitting there like, what the hell? But
spit on
I have a question.
That's, wow.
My goodness.
Wow, that's,
we do,
yeah,
we
that,
do
I
not
mean,
condone you getting spit
T.O.
on in the face.
Stuff. That's
yeah.
What was the
yeah, Bill,
white
Bill,
linebacker's
Bill,
name that spit in T.O.'s face?
Bill Romanowski.
Bill Romanowski.
Yeah, we don't. He's been in us.
Romanowski was in the stands?
It was J.J. Stokes he spit on.
Oh, Stokes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They throw snowballs. They throw batteries. I mean, people are fighting in the bathrooms. They're by far the worst fans. But related to that, I want to know why the hell Aaron Rodgers would even consider the Broncos or the Raiders at this stage in his career. I mean, the Raiders don't really have a true number one. Would you rather throw to Henry Ruggs or Devontae Adams? And their defense is atrocious. They gave up like 30 points a game last year. And the Broncos, I mean, I don't really see a potent offensive attack. I mean, throwing Aaron Rodgers, I mean, who the hell knows? And it's
well, you got to remember now, they also have, I mean, they also have Noah Fant. Over there, they just drafted
Jerry
Javonte
Judy.
Williams. They have Jerry
Corlin
Judy.
Sutton.
Like, I don't think that they're quite. I would tell you that he has better weapons right now, and he would have better weapons in Denver than Green Bay. Other than Davante Adams, if you look at the scope of the weapons.
Aaron Jones?
I like Aaron Jones. I mean, yeah, I like Aaron Jones fine. Aaron Jones isn't a full-time. They don't play him like a full-time guy, like a three-down. Yeah. You know, they kind of rotate him in and out. Aaron Jones
is a beast.
But if you said, okay, I'll give you Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant and Sutton and this kid, Javonte Williams, and I'll give you Denver, where you can live other than Green Bay. I'll give you Denver. And then I guess Shaylee, his girl, his fiance is from that area too. So we'll let her go back home. We'll give you all these weapons, and we'll give you nicer weather and more stuff to do.
She's from San Bernardino.
I thought that's somebody close else. No, I think she. But I think she lives there.
I don't know.
I just saw something with Packer fans talking about
that. Does
he
want him some Vic Fangio?
Well, I don't think that's favorable.
Yeah,
I don't. I don't think that's the favorable thing. But you know what? I don't think he wants some Brian Gutekunst anymore. And if you really look at it, you know, yeah, it's not. I don't think it's the easiest out. But Aaron Rodgers is one with much less talent than they have in Denver.
Yeah, she's from San Bernardino.
Well, she may be from there. Does she live there now?
Or is that just Packer fans making stuff up?
Simi Valley.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, there's no way you'd know where she lives.
But she's close enough to Denver.
Okay, forget it. Would you rather live in Denver or California tax-wise?
Oh, would you rather live in anywhere or Green Bay? I'll take anywhere.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's not this whole idea of why in the world would he live in California over... Mm.
Or
over
Denver.
Green Bay? Well, why would he live in... Well, who's of course, questioning, if he's Raiders, it'd be Las Vegas. But yeah. Why would you live in Las Vegas?
Who's questioning Green Bay? What's the better place to live?
Eric?
No.
No, you said, why would you want to play for
them? No,
nobody is. But listen, you know, for Aaron Rodgers at this stage of his career, that kind of stuff might matter for him, too. Because if all things are equal, he's got Alan Lazard. He's got Marquez Valdez Scantling. He's still... balls out because he's that good.
Yeah, he can ball out with Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton,
Noah
Fant.
Yeah. Oh, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's better talent than what he has at Green Bay.
Yeah.
You're in a tougher division, probably, because you have the Chiefs there.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
No, absolutely.
But
you're Aaron Rodgers. You ain't scared of that.
And you live in, like I said, Denver versus, at some point, if you've been there, John, I can't speak to it. You've been there. Nothing wrong with the
Those fans are fanatical about
that's,
that team.
That's great.
It is awesome.
But at some point, from 05 all the way to 2020, at some point you might want to change the scene.
Yeah,
Green Bay.
All right, 745 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You got some thoughts, you're more than welcome to get in here on the show.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So if you missed it the other day, Jimbo Fisher was here. Touchdown Club. I think they were at the Omni. And he met the media. Jimbo Fisher did. And when asked, does Nick have to retire or die for you guys to beat Alabama?
A little bit of a. Did somebody really ask that question?
No, I don't think he said
here's
that.
You
got the whole setup?
I have the quote. The question is garbled, so I'll read it. A question was asked by a fan, what's the key other than Saban retiring to finally beating Bama? And this is how Jimbo responded.
We're going to beat his ass and win his air. No way. We've known each other forever. I mean, we coach together. Matter of fact, we're going to do a big fundraiser for a bunch of opiates and the drugs in West Virginia here at the end of this month. We're doing me, him, the governor, and one of the state senators. We're doing a couple guys.
So
that's hard to understand.
Yes, but he said we're gonna beat his ass while he's there, and because this is the way the internet works, where media works. Saban just happened to be doing a fundraiser. Either the next night or actually last night. He was doing last night.
Did you hear what he said? Nick.
Well,
and all the little snitches went running.
Well, it was asked. I don't think it was by the same woman who asked the question, but this is a reporter. It was at a night with Nick Saban. It's a team-focused annual fundraiser. That's what it's called. And this was the setup and Nick Saban's response.
Coach, got to ask, your friend Jimbo said yesterday that at some point while you're in Tuscaloosa, he was going to beat your butt. That wasn't the word that he used, but did you have any response for that?
In golf?
I think he meant on the football field.
Well, I'm sure there'll come a day, you know, but is that what he's talking about?
Yeah,
football?
He was talking about football.
Oh, he was? Well, he used to be on my noontime basketball league, I guess. You know, we're no longer partners, you know, when it comes to that.
In golf?
In
golf? Pretty good, Nick. Yeah, that little fella's funny sometimes.
Oh, man, I didn't say that, Coach. I didn't call you a little fella just now.
That little fella.
Hey, John's real flagrant when Nick Saban isn't doing a weekly show now.
Yeah.
Did you keep that same energy when Nick Saban was on?
He was the LSU head coach.
I know. Did you
put some respect on him then?
Did you? Yeah, sure did.
I don't give a rat's ass about him now.
There was always a little bit of a...
How it happened to him last year when he faced LSU. Oh.
There was always a... walking on eggshells with Nick Saban.
They beat him by quite...
Not that. The year before. The only year that counted.
Last year? Because I was at that game. You mean the Devontae Smith Heisman game?
No, not that game. Not that game. That game didn't matter. It was in COVID. Who cares? Nobody cared about that season. Mm. Okay?
I was there.
The last season that really counts is 2019. What happened then? Oh, that taste, little Nick.
The taste isn't washed out of his mouth after winning a national title?
Lil Nicky, that's his name.
Just not
L-I-L, Lil Nicky.
Just not comfortable with Lil Nicky.
Yeah. Look,
John can talk as much as he likes. I mean, now, because there's distance. We all know the real deal.
Yeah.
Saban, if Lil Nick was standing here, John ain't saying that. Hey, Coach, good to see you again, Coach.
What's up, Coach?
Yeah, we know. We all know.
Yeah. Can't stand him.
55-17, I wouldn't be able to stand him either after what he did.
Yeah, don't need none of that. Don't need none of that. Apparently the questions went on. When asked about Dylan Moses, Nick Saban said, well, he's kind of like Drew Brees. What? Dylan Moses?
Well, this is linebacker, Dylan Moses.
Dylan Moses,
who was not drafted.
He was undrafted.
Because of an injury. He would have been third or fourth rounder.
He said it has nothing to do with what kind of football player he is. It was based on medical grades by the teams, which frankly was a little surprising to me. My time in the league when guys were injured and they came back and played, they usually got out of that 5 medical grade, which is undraftable. It might have been a 4 medical grade, which means a guy does have an injury, could be a problem in the future. But he said, don't forget, when I was coach at the Miami Dolphins, doctors failed Drew Brees on a physical. From that time on, he made about 14 Pro Bowls, won a Super Bowl, passed for I don't know how many thousands of yards. So I guess they make mistakes too. That is the only way in which Dylan Moses is any way, shape, or form like Drew Brees. That is the only way. But yeah, okay, maybe what? But how did you broke Dylan Moses down as a linebacker?
Like, he was a little disappointing. Like for all of his talent and everything, he didn't live up to the 5-star hype, but I still put like a third or fourth on him.
Yeah, when he came in, remember, he was, oh my goodness.
He still had a chance to be a good backup to lower end starter, like, or to average starter, maybe. But yeah, when he came in, that was the hype machine going on for Dylan Moses. But yeah,
he thought he was the next CJ Mosley.
Dylan Moses, worst case scenario, I think would have been a fourth round pick. Worst case scenario. So when he started falling, we realized, all right, surefire sign of medical.
Yeah.
Once he got out of the fourth into the fifth, and then for sure into the sixth, this isn't even about personal preference. This guy's got injuries. And I told you before, I think I've talked about it on the air, this year more than Tevin Jenkins fell out of the first because there's a question. Azeez Ojulari, if you had any questions about medicals that they couldn't get answered, they just drop you. It's just like, nah, we're not taking a chance. And this year more, you won't see this happen again. Dylan Moses... My guess is if Dylan Moses was in next year's draft, he would have been in a third or fourth round pick. But don't forget now, Nick Saban's guys get beat up a little bit. That's a thing, too, where a lot of guys end up having surgery when they come out and stuff like that. So Dylan Moses, and he has a known injury history from when he was, you know, hurt. And he was the one that got hurt before the playoffs a couple of years back. When was that? But Dylan has an injury background. So.
Yeah. And so, but he did play all year this year. So I guess, I don't know. Whether or not it was all injury or his play or whatever the case may be, he's Drew Brees. He's Drew Brees. No.
That's the way
when I read that headline, I was like, what?
That's the way we
How the hell is Dylan Moses Drew Brees? But I guess you could get there. I guess a long way around. you can get there. 713-780-3776. Let's get John in here before we hit the top of the hour. What do you say, John? Well, there goes John.
He got scared.
He did get scared. He was afraid to talk on the radio. He was afraid.
Guys, if you call in, don't be afraid to talk on the radio. There's nothing scary about it.
No, we're nice to everybody.
Yep. I've never gotten mad at a caller. What? John has never tried
you
to.
You never said S.
John just wishes you had this.
You never said S the H to a caller.
John's never tried to ruin your marriage.
You never said S the H.
Or call.
Not to a caller. I said it to the internet.
Yeah, no, to a caller.
I said to the internet.
Did you say this to a caller? Did you call them a merry band of hog swallowers?
No, who was I saying that about?
People who didn't like your brisket.
No. It was about something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was it your draft stuff?
Might have been. The brisket stuff's old.
No.
And I put a redemption brisket that caused y'all to squoop. I won't say it.
What's he talking about?
I won't say it. That doesn't even bother me.
Really? It doesn't bother you? You were about to say word because it doesn't bother you?
It's so easy to trigger him.
I'm like, what else do I have to do? I put all this great food out there for you. Like, you dummies.
Yeah.
I don't have to listen to these nerds.
Yeah, it's old stuff. It's old stuff, isn't it?
I don't care what you nerds.
It's old stuff. So, I'm not bothered by it at all.
It's so easy. All right.
I wasn't even trying.
757.
I was reliving some of his greatest moments.
You were trying.
ESPN 97.5. 713-780-377. Let's talk some basketball on the other side. There's a lot of stuff.
Hey, this is getting kind of interesting. All this whole Lakers versus Nets. This is not a given.
I'm not sure it's Lakers versus Nets anymore.
It's not a given at all. Your dream could come true.
Yeah. Neither of them make it.
No LeBron, no James.
Oh, it would be the greatest day ever. But right now, Craig the Surf is what we're talking about.
One of your greatest days ever now is when you step into the facility of my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. You know, the great part about going to that location is that when you stop in, you're never hassled. That can be a very intimidating place. Going to a dealership, you pull up and immediately somebody starts walking towards you and you realize, man, I don't need this to be like a mall kiosk shop trying to give me this Israeli sea salt, whatever. I'm just looking for a car. I don't need you all in my excuse me, sir. Somebody trying to hand you something to sample. That doesn't happen over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. You just get great vehicles at great prices, and they have some amazing offers going on right now. As a matter of fact, I just got one just yesterday. Let me pull this up for you because this is a great opportunity for you. I'll give you an example. Let's see. You've got right now, and every year or every month, there's a brand new offer. So right now, Buick Envision, 10% below MSRP. Buick Encore, 13% below MSRP. Buick Enclave, 14%. And the Buick Encore, 19% below MSRP. That's going on for you right now. A variety of different types of Buick SUVs, a variety of different sizes and styles, stylish interiors. Check them out for yourself by going to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.